If we only appreciated how precious we are, we would have no problems. The Course in Miracles tells us that the purpose of our life is to be happy. Honestly, truly, literally, the only reason we're on this earth is to enjoy ourselves. And it is only the thinking of what the Course calls the ego or the fear within our minds that could have ever led us to believe that there is anything holy about suffering, that there is anything spiritual about losing, that there is anything good and pure about limitation of any kind. It is only thoughts like these that keep back from us all the gifts which God would have us receive. The Course in Miracles tells us that the Holy Spirit is sent by God with a function. And that function of his mission, as it were, is to make us happy, is to give us everything that would contribute to our ultimate happiness. So the Course in Miracles says that everything that would make you totally happy is either in your life already or it is speeding to you. It is already on its way. That right there is the reason why we need not be greedy, and we need not be needy, and we need not be grabby. All we have to do is to sit back and to relax and to remember who we are. Because when we remember who we are, that means that we remember how precious we are to God. That means that we remember that we are His beloved children. And because we are His beloved children, which is the same thing as saying that we are extensions of His mind. Remember, God is not, obviously, not some old man sitting on a throne somewhere. He is an idea, the Course says. And we are ideas in His mind. But there is no lapse in love between us. God loves us, and we love God because we are the same being, as it were. We are merely extensions from Him. The only difference between us and Him, the Course says, is that He was here first. He made us. And His whole beingness and relationship to us is a relationship of total and unconditional love. Therefore, His love rests on what He made us to be, what He created us to be. And it's very important for us to understand that our worth is not determined by anything that we do. The Course says that your worth is not determined by anything that you do, anything that you say, any condition of your life. Your worth is determined by what God created you to be. And that's what it means to understand that you are priceless, to understand what a treasure you are to God. Now, the universe is set up in such a way as to reflect back to you God's opinion of you. And the point here is that God's opinion of you is much higher than your opinion of yourself. Now, the Course says miracles occur naturally. When they do not occur, something has gone wrong. What that means to say that miracles occur naturally is the same as to say that the flow of God's love, which is always a flow of goodness, of perfection, of joy, and of abundance in every single area, has to do with a natural flow of things that makes the seed turn into the flower and the embryo turn into the baby, and which would make of your life a constant, ever-expanding outflow of abundance in every area. Now, see, we tend to think of abundance, and we think of money, or we think of jobs, or we think of forms of relationships, or whatever material things are in our lives. But anything out there is really just a shadow of energy. So when we talk about abundance, we mean an energy flow. Now, to understand what the true inner abundance is to understand that you are deserving of outer abundance, simply because outer abundance is merely a reflection of what you allow yourself. So when we say here we give up ambition, that's not the same thing as saying we give up a delight with the external world. No, it's just that we give up our attachment, in a negative sense, attachment to the external world, and that's when we can begin to enjoy ourselves here. That's when we can begin to enjoy ourselves here. To realize that the external world is nothing is not the same as to think that it's bad for some reason. The body, for instance, it's not that it's bad in Course in Miracles terms, it's that it's a totally neutral thing. So for us, the issue was not that it would somehow be spiritual for us to be keep things very bland and very simple in a negative way or in a poverty sense on the external plane, but merely to understand that because of who we are in God's eyes, all we have to do is to receive that which His will would be for us, and to understand that God's will is that we be happy. God's will is that we have total abundance in our lives, and that doesn't mean that we would be special in some bad way. Rather, it means that the abundance of our lives, being the abundance of all lives, is the abundance that contributes to the lives of other people. For instance, look at like a financial poverty consciousness. If you have an economy of a nation and businesses start folding, this is not just bad for the person who owns that business, is it? When a business folds, it's not just bad for the person who owns the business. It's not good for the entire economy because there are people who are working for that person who owned the business. Right? I mean, there are people who work for that business. So as one person loses, other people lose. Just as when you have a thriving business, it's not just one person who is able to thrive from that, but that abundance contributes to the abundance of other people who can work there, etc. The same is true of your personal abundance in every area of your life. To the extent that you allow yourself to feel all of the love that God would have you feel, and because of your ability to believe it, because of your ability to realize that that is how He created you, and that it's blasphemous to think that you are anything less than that radiant creature, means that to that extent you will allow yourself to receive all of the gifts of God. Now, the gifts of God are not material. The gifts of God are spiritual. The gifts of God are mental. But as you begin to have a momentum working in your life, which has to do with the increase of these mental gifts, then abundance in every area begins to flow. Your career just happens to take off. You didn't do anything to make it happen. It's just the angel started just pushing you from behind. And the same in your relationships. You didn't do anything to force them. You just happened to meet wonderful people. They love you and you love them. And you didn't do anything to increase your money or your where you live or whatever it is. It's just something that happened as a natural outflow because of who and what you are. There's a woman that I see sometimes, and I pay her $20 for the services that she renders me. So this morning, I said, I can only be here for about 30 minutes because I have to go to a meeting. So I can only be here for 30 minutes. So at the end of the 30 minutes, I still went to give her $20. And she said, no, just, you know, you're only here for 30 minutes. Why don't you just give me $5? I said, wait a minute. I said, you don't get it. This is not healthy. You have something really unhealthy here, and you're trying to suck me into your lack of mental health, right? I said, you understand that you're to be a part of the abundance. You know, you should, when you pay people for their services, it shouldn't be that you're coming from a, okay, I'll pay you. If it's something that you feel is worth the money, if that's been the agreement and you feel, you see, money is just a form of love. Money is just a form of energy. All energy is love. And money either reflects the outflow of love or it reflects the withhold of love. But there is nothing, there is certainly nothing inherently wrong about money. All right? Now, if that flow, when you give anything, the blessing goes to you as much as to them. And there's a constant blessing and an increase that not only goes to the receiver, but to the giver. It is as blessed to give as to receive, simply because to give and to receive are one in truth. All right? Now, this woman has given me her time. I said, you know, wait a minute. You don't get it. You get $20 an hour for your time. You get $20 an hour for your time. I agreed to pay you $20 an hour. If I don't spend more than 30 minutes here, that's my business. That's my business. But the agreement was that you get $20 an hour for your time. It is a part of the abundance of my life as well as your life that outflow and inflow continues to operate. It is not just for your sake, I say to her. I say you have, obviously, and I see it in so many people, this fear of money, right? This fear of receiving, as though almost it's something like bad for them to receive. And I remember a time in my life when I felt that if I was poor, it was showing my companionship with the poor. It was showing where I stood socially and politically if I was poor, not understanding that if I was poor, what could I do for the poor near what I might be able to do if I wasn't poor, correct? And in so many areas of my life, I realize now in retrospect how I had a lot about not having, and what it really was a specialness thing, what the Course in Miracles would call a specialness thing. I'm so good. When the truth of the matter is, in any area of your life, as you begin to expand, everything that you do, increase brings increase to people around you, and withhold and decrease brings withhold and decrease to people around you. It does not help other people for you to be sad. I understand. I had the same thing about being depressed. I used to think I was, I mean, I didn't admit it to myself, but I thought it was really hip slick and cool how depressed I was over the human condition. But when I was so depressed over the human condition, you know, and I'd always keep the books that I would read about the human condition, I'd always make sure that, you know, they were up so you could see the books that I was reading about the human condition. You know, And then you could see from my crown that I'd read them, you know? And then I would kind of be depressed all day because I understood how bad the human condition really was. Well, that certainly meant I didn't have any time for you. I didn't have any time to sit and listen to your problems and to be of any increase in your particular life while I was too depressed about the human condition. Because wherever you hold your mind is then what's going to be the energy in your life. So I used to think that somehow it was spiritual and pure of me not to be happy. Almost, who was I to be happy? Right? You have almost said, who are you to be rich? Who are you to be happy? Who are you to be successful? When the truth of the matter is, who are you not to be when that is what God's will is for you? It's blasphemous to think that you do not deserve all of the internal abundance. Because all of the internal abundance, if God doesn't shine through you, who's he going to shine through? You know that wonderful story about Carl Rogers. When Carl Rogers walked into his graduate seminars and he said, okay, who here is going to be the great psychologist of your generation? And nobody raised their hand. He said, okay, who's going to be the great philosophers of your generation? Nobody raised their hand. He said, who's going to be the great novelist of this generation? And nobody raised their hand. He said, well, if not you, then who? Who's going to do it if you don't do it? What is it? You know, it's really about understanding. You know, I think that there's almost, when I was a child, I remember when I was growing up and I would read about people in school or whatever who had succeeded in this area or that area. There's almost this conspiracy. The ego has it set up that somehow people who have done great things somehow are qualitatively different than the rest of us. It's very important to understand that people who do great, quote, great things are not qualitatively different from the rest of us. They are merely people who, for whatever reason, have gotten to the inner condition within themselves that they were willing to open themselves, and that willingness is everything, so that the capacity of the universe could then flow through them in order for brilliance or genius to shine. You are as brilliant as anyone, and the Course in Miracles says that all of the gifts of God will someday be shared equally among the sons of God. The issue is not how you can get anything. You see, the Course in Miracles, we do not increase our lives by trying to get anything. That's not what we do in this course. In fact, we increase our lives by giving everything. But you can only increase your life in giving everything to the extent that you realize that you have an infinite supply of all that is good. You have an infinite supply of all that is good means that you realize, you remember who you are, and you can simply be about your Father's business in every day of giving love. Now, when you know that all that you need to do in every area of your life is to try your best to be the most wonderful person that you can be and to give as God gives you the guidance to give in any way in your own life, then to that extent, what you're announcing to the universe is how full you are. You see, if you think that you have to spend all your time getting this or getting that or making your career get this way or making your relationships get that way or getting the money, then what you're really coming from and what you're really communicating to the universe is scarcity. You're communicating to the universe that I don't have much. I don't have much and I need to catch up with everybody else. So you will continually create the conditions of your life where you're trying to catch up with everybody else. But if you say, no, wait a minute, I don't need to do that. All I need to do is to remember who I am. Remember who I am means that infinite abundance is inside of me because of how God created me. See, that's not an arrogant statement. The Course says that's a very humble statement. It means to realize I don't have to grab for anything. I don't have to try to get this. I don't have to try to get anything. My Father in heaven is sending me everything because that's just the way of the universe. All I have to do is come from a position where I'm about his business. Because when I'm putting first being about his business, then what I'm unconsciously stating to the universe is I am so full, I am so rich in every area I don't even have to think about it. I am so rich in every area I don't even have to think about it. And then what happens is that all abundance comes to you without your thinking about it. Sometimes I have actually experienced in my life from doing the Course in Miracles, I have and continue to experience ways in which abundance opens up and it's almost like I can't catch up with it. Abundance opens up, I can't even catch up with it. Usually you're trying to sort of get your life to catch up with your dreams. And sometimes it occurs to me that life is happening faster than I was able to dream it up. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the universe, God's opinion kept just shining. If you will just allow God's opinion, and that's what innocence is. And so that innocence is not a weakness. Remember, the Course in Miracles says that the meek shall inherit the earth because their strength will literally take the place over. The strength of the meek is the strength which comes from people who are exercising strength without conscious control. Miracles occur involuntarily in the presence of love. They are natural expression of love. But I see continually in my life how people stop the flow. Just like this woman today was trying to stop the flow. Who was she to say to me no? Correct? Who was she to say to me no? And I've told the story many times in here. I know many of you have heard it already. About the man who gave me $1,000 a couple years ago. How many of you have heard that story about the man who gave me $1,000? Well, when I first started lecturing, and I was first starting to get a lot of lectures and stuff like that, but I was still doing my regular jobs, you know, during the day and stuff like that, and it wasn't real easy for me. And a man came up to me who came to my lectures years ago, and he said, "I'd like to give you something." And he handed me something. I said, "Fine," and it was a check for $1,000. And I looked at him, and you know, the Course says the ego speaks first, and the ego and I must add to this that I had had some money problems recently and had talked to God about it. I said something like, "I know you know, but I thought I'd remind you that about these things. And I am ready to receive. I'm not asking, but I want you to know I'm ready to receive." So this man came up to me within days and he said, "I'd like to give you something with $1,000. You know, the ego speaks first and the ego speaks loudest. And I said to him, "I'm not going to take this is ridiculous. You wait. Someday I'll have a non-profit something, and then it would be a tax deduction for you. I can't take this. Go on, take this back. This is no. And I saw the look in his eyes, and I realized it was a profound moment, right, that when I said, "Oh, thank you, but you can't give me this, out of that, and you take it back." And I saw that I had denied him something. You know? After that, of course, I remember reading in the psychology booklet about how if someone that you know, all the business about how teachers of God are to go about money, and then it says, if you are not led to ask for money, still do not deny it. If someone brings you a gift, understand that it is much a blessing to them as to you. And I saw in his eyes that I had denied him something. That it wasn't just myself that I denied something. I had denied him something for whatever reason. If he had felt guided to do that, if for whatever reason some angel had said to do that, then it wasn't just for me. It was for him, too. And then later, of course, when I went to God about it, God was like, "Hey, you know, you asked, I did it. You know, don't even look to me," right? Because it was my going to control how things would happen. And I remember that later in my life when, fortunately, I would get to the point in my own life when I would feel times when my guidance was to give. My guidance was to give, understand, because there's a constant cycle and constant flow. That's why we stay away from guidance about behavior here. Because everybody gives in different ways. Somebody's supposed to give behavior, somebody's supposed to give money, somebody's supposed to give whatever. But the thing to understand is that in any interaction, don't be confused and don't be deluded about who the giver is and who the receiver is. Whoever the giver is in an honest, of love, and of integrity interaction is as much the receiver as the person who seems to be the receiver. Just like today when she said, no, don't give that to me. She wanted me to be part of a conspiracy of poverty. In other words, if I would agree with that woman today and say, "You're right, you gave me 30 minutes, you agreed to an hour, here's a five," right? It wasn't just that woman who was going to be losing. It was going to be that all day, somehow, the energy that I had not lived up to an energy of abundance in my own life. Every interaction has to do with everyone involved in any way by the interaction. And what you begin to realize when you really respect the flow of God's love and God's abundance is that the commitment that you have is not to human personality. The commitment that you have is not to personality, and the commitment that you have is not to things, but the commitment that you do have is to the allowance of God's love to flow in however is a way that God would have it flow, and you begin to realize how terribly abundant that is. I remember when I used to go through houses, like I said, in terms of my politics, and feeling that it was so wrong that some people lived in real big houses. Now, certainly, I do still think at this point in my life, if I had millions and millions of dollars, there are some things that it seems to me, as long as there are hungry people in the planet, I couldn't see spending my money on this or that. So I'm not talking about that kind of an extreme. But what I have realized is that all things out there are merely a product of the human mind. One day, everybody on this earth will live in the house of their dreams. That's what's supposed to happen. And you are not helping people who do not live in the house of their dreams by living in a hovel. Do you see what I'm saying? One day everyone will have the career that best suits them and is the perfect expression of God and them for them to be in total happiness all the time. That's what's supposed to happen. And as you grow more abundant in your career, for instance, then your career becomes a training ground. Actually, when things are working right, then your career will always become a training ground for someone else to make for their dreams to come true through that particular ministry, which is their own. That's why in the olden days, days, there used to be, and there still is on the inner planes, the master and the apprentice situation. I know in my own life, and I was aware of it at the time, when I was young, I had so much interaction with people who were really brilliant in one way or the other. Either I was working for them or whatever it was, I was aware when I was young much more than in my education academically. In my education academically, I learned a lot too. Where I mainly learned what has been most precious to me in my life, about living my life, has been through being around certain individuals. And I knew that it was, when I was younger, I felt like I was an apprentice. And I remember saying to a man that I worked for, and I realized that, you know, I worked for him, and he was a very brilliant writer. And the way he would work is that every morning when I came in to go to work, his way of writing was that he would, rather than sitting down at the typewriter, he would speak it orally. And so my job, the first hour and a half, let's say, when I would come into work, and I was in my early 20s, I would come into work, and what I was supposed to do was just sit there and listen to him talk for about an hour and a half. And then my job would be to type up what he had spoken. But what he liked was to have a person there. And that was actually my job. While he would tell me orally, that was the way he wrote. And I learned so much about creativity from him. Not in the sense of being around him on a daily basis and watching how he wrote and how he handled his life. And I remember saying to him, once, you know, I feel like we've got some, it's almost like a medieval something we've got going on here. I feel like I'm your apprentice, almost like an alchemical apprentice. And he looked at me and he said, you're right. And always remember that the way nature flows is that ultimately the apprentice will bypass the master. One day the apprentice will actually emulate the master. That every generation, you don't just reach, the way the universe increases is that you don't just reach the level of the master, you will go beyond. That's what's supposed to happen. And then when you begin to reach mastery in any level in your life, you will attract people who then become the apprentices in a way that they might learn what you have learned so that one day they can go beyond. And you begin to see how when the world flows the way it's supposed to learn, everyone increases, and everyone increases then begins to embrace everyone else so that everyone else can be increased. And anyone who has begun to, whose life has begun to flow with a level of increase, that's why you see sometimes, for instance, like when the woman didn't want me to give her the money today, or another friend of mine, I remember, she had done a lot for me and I wanted to give her tickets to a concert or something. I don't remember what it was. And she went into this thing about it. It was like so hard for her to receive it. You know what I'm saying? And I remembered once again there, it was like she had denied me something. And one of the things that you begin to realize when there is any increase in your life is that you know what got it there for you. And the more you have an increase, you know you have to put it back. You have to keep putting back that increase in order for the increase to continue to come to you. And I know that's what was happening, for instance, with that man. I know there have been times in my life, well, I have to with the ministry, for instance, I believe in terms of tithing. There have been some times with money that we receive here, and so then we give back, and we always give it back in terms of people among us who need it. And I remember one month when somebody said, oh, no, I couldn't, and somebody else said, no, they wouldn't. And I was thinking, well, I wish somebody would take it. I mean, we have to give it to somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's the law of the universe that it has to continue to flow. You know what I'm saying? And you really begin to see, I have really seen in my life, how poverty consciousness works. And how poverty consciousness actually has nothing to do with money. It has to do with sense of deserving, but not about money. Sorrow to me is not just seeing people not think that they deserve money, because money isn't that big a deal. But what does make me sad is when people don't think they deserve to shine in their career. Or they don't think that they deserve to shine in relationships. They don't think they deserve to be happy is the bottom line. And that's why what I wanted to discuss tonight is the fact that the Course in Miracles says that your only reason you're on this earth is to be happy. The only reason you're on this earth. Today I was thinking about, I'm sometimes reading certain people who will say, well, you know, you grow up and you find out that life isn't like what you thought it was going to be when you were a little kid. Ha! That's wisdom. You see, that's taken for wisdom. That when you're a little kid, you think you're going to get up and life's going to be happy every day, and you're going to go about doing what it is that you want to do, and everybody's going to be nice to each other, and everybody's just going to be doing wonderful things and having fun like it's a game all the time. Ha! Right? Because I was thinking today about, God, this is like a game. Everybody getting up and doing exactly what they want to do, and everybody loving each other, and everybody, everything increasing. Realizing what a lie. Most people live, the deception that most people live under, because the truth is that when you surrender your life to God, it is supposed to be an ever-increasing dance. It is supposed to be fun. When it's not, And when there are limitations, that's not the natural order of things. When things aren't increasing with an outflow of total happiness in every area of your life, that's when something's gone wrong. And the something that's gone wrong didn't come from the big guy. The something that went wrong had to do with your thinking on some level that you didn't deserve it. And you get over that, first of all, by remembering who you are. Who are you not to deserve it? Who are you so special that you should be different? The Course in Miracles says that the whole universe is set up to worship you. The whole universe is set up to adore you. The whole universe is set up to make your life of increase, and as you get increase, that you might then be God's caretaker so that you can bring increase to other people who are then coming up the ladder in whatever that area of increase is. That's the way it's supposed to happen. And, you know, a lot of times when people have a fear of receiving, it's because they don't feel inside. You know, I know one of the things for myself is one of the things I know in my own life, and it's really helped me so that I think I can receive, is because I'm real clear spiritually that anything I receive is just going to go right back out anyway. You see what I'm saying? You reinvest your energy. Anything anyone gives you is going to be love that you will put right back into the universe. And that's why it is that everybody will increase as you are increased. Now, if you don't know that about yourself, then no wonder you're scared to receive. You know what I'm saying? If you don't feel clear about that and you think maybe whatever you got and whatever energy would just be hoarded over in your corner, then no wonder you would have the fear of success. Once you realize that everything you were given is just the will of God so that then you can then dispense as He would wish that you dispense. Because remember, there's nothing wrong about money. There is something evil, however, about what some people do with money. There's nothing wrong about success. There is something very, very twisted, however, in this society, particularly with what some people do with success. There's nothing wrong with money and success and abundance. It's just that in most people's mind, money is not yet seen as a way to serve the planet. The problem is that in most people's minds, success isn't yet a way that you bring more success and more goodness to other people. But when you see that it is, when you see that anything that comes to you is merely then the resources of your ministry by which you then might bring increase to the planet, then you do realize, who am I not to have it? Who am I to say no? Who am I to say no when God is asking that all increase, which is merely mental anyway, might be given to you, that you might dispense it to those others who are around you? And that is what it means to understand that you deserve it. You deserve it because God placed you here to receive it. All God does not demand sacrifice. The Course says that sacrifice is an idea that we came up with, this idea of sacrifice. All that God gives is giving. All that God gives is love. And that's why all you have to do in order to be in an attitude of total abundance in your life is to merely allow yourself to receive it. To take a deep breath and to know that at this moment and every moment, this incredible, it's like cosmic dust of some kind, this incredible golden light is just shooting at you from all over the universe. The Course in Miracles says prayer is how you talk to God and miracles is how He talks back. And all the miracles that are supposed to outflow in your life, all of the miracles that are supposed to unfold in every area so that things are meant to get easier. Things are meant to be easy for you. Things are meant to be a straight path for you. You're not serving the universe going through all your stuff. You're in much better position to be of service to the universe when life is easy and loving and joyful for you. And then it begins to touch and to uplift everybody else's life as well. Why? Because that's God's desire, that He be involved in that dance with you. You know how when you really love somebody, you really desire to give to them? That's when you really know you love somebody. When you're not making demands, you just want to give. That's what the Course in Miracles says God feels about you. God doesn't desire to make any demands. God makes no demands of you, the Course says. God doesn't need to make any demands of you. God just wishes that you would relax so you could enjoy the relationship, so that you could allow yourself to receive. How many times, I know that when I was real young in relationships, people would say to me, if you would just kind of relax, I feel like there's so much you could be getting from this. You know what I'm saying? Just relax and to receive. And I know even a lot of times in my life when I was demanding certain things in relationship, and people would say to me, if you weren't demanding so much, you'd probably see how much I'm giving. Right? If you weren't so busy demanding, you could just kind of sit there and receive, then you would see how much. And so some people are so involved in grabbing for the money or grabbing for the relationship or grabbing for the career, grabbing for the whatever, trying to make it happen, rather than knowing that if you just relax into the arms of God, that the will of God is that all those things will come to you of themselves. All those things will come to you of themselves. God doesn't desire that you live in poverty. And God desires that you live in just the place
just the place that would perfectly suit the outflow and the expansion of goodness and of beauty and of style that he sees in his mind as what you're worth. In your career, God desires that it be something incredible. You don't have to think, as we say in here all the time, you don't have to worry that if you surrender your life to God, he's going to lose your file. He's not going to lose your file. God spends all his time thinking about you. That's a line that you can put over your mirror someday. Put it over your bed or something so you see it every day. God spends all his time thinking about you, because it's the truth. God does spend all his time thinking about you. God exists in this moment, and in this moment, all the love of the universe is geared towards you, towards making you happier, towards bringing you love. Why? Not just for your sake. The increase in your life is for the increase of the entire sonship. That brings reverence into your life. A lot of times we don't want to take a moment to think about that. We don't want to take a moment to think about that because it's almost easier to stay stuck where we are. That's why we say here, don't just be nice to people when they're going through a failure syndrome. Be nice to people when they're beginning to succeed, because that brings up a lot of stuff in people, right? But that is a holy thing in life. When people do open up to receive all that God's desire is, because God's desire is not just that they open up to receive all that is good. God's desire is that everybody open up to receive all that is good. But the instruments for this person to open up is this person having opened up. And then they demonstrate. And then they become beacons. And then we begin to see that the radiance of God's love and God's joy and God's abundance is the most holy thing there is. It's the most abundant thing there is. So when we're not in the conditions where we feel that kind of abundance coming from our hearts, all we have to do is to sit back and to relax and to know, if abundance isn't flowing in my life, it wasn't God's will, it was something that I've been doing. It's my own thoughts about myself, it's my own thoughts of limitation. And so, as in everything else in this course, we don't ask that God fix that or God fix that. We ask, dear God, fix me. Bring me home. Transform my thoughts so I can remember who I am. Transform my thoughts so I can remember how worthy I am. Transform my thoughts so I can remember why I'm here, that all I want to do is dispense all the abundance that you give to me. But you can't dispense what you don't have. You can't give happiness to people when you're not happy. You can't give abundance to people when you don't have the abundance to give. You're not serving people by your decrease. You're not serving people by your fear. You're not serving people by your separation over here where you're afraid of the world. You are serving people when you stand forth completely naked, completely in the light, like an open flower. And they will see, as you will see, that incredible abundance becomes manifest from that. But it didn't come from you. It came from him. Thank you very much. Amen.
When I was younger, I used to read a lot of biographies. I was always real fascinated by people who had really excelled in something, people who had really made some kind of a dynamic contribution to the planet. And I didn't particularly care. I remember when I was younger, what I was fascinated by was not someone who had been a famous artist, not someone who had been a famous philosopher, not someone who had been a famous scientist, but just someone who had done something. That was the part that fascinated me. And when you read a lot of biographies, you know, there's a whole sociology around this, and there's a lot of theory of greatness. You know, sociologists and biographers talk about, why do some people become great? Why do some people do something more? Why do some people act or behave and contribute in such a way that 100 or 300 or 500 years later, people are still talking about those people? Well, one of the fascinating aspects of the question is the fact that you can't tell. You can't read children's IQ scores. You can't say, well, this child is very talented, or this child is very intelligent, and then be sure that that child will be the one who contributes later on. Certainly there are some people that you just know they have something so dynamic as a child, but even then, some of the children that we look at and say, well, they're so this, they're so that, they have the brains, they have the talent, are often not the children who grow into the adults who make that dynamic contribution. And on the other hand, so many times, people who do end up blowing everybody out of the water in some way or the other are people who, when they were children, didn't particularly impress anybody. Right? So when you read biographies, biographers often ask, what is it that makes some people who we know are not necessarily the people who are the most brilliant, who were not necessarily the people who did the best in school, who were not necessarily even the people who were considered the most talented? What happened in those people that made them able to shine through all of the barriers? And see, that's an interesting thing. I think sometimes we tend to think, we're so aware in our own lives how many obstacles there are to success. right? And of course, what we realize, certainly in this room more than anything else, is that our main obstacles to success aren't outside of us, they're inside of us. Configuration of circumstances in such a way that instead of being an obstacle, it was just the grist for their mill. It was the way they did it, the way they went through it, so that instead of making them less, instead of making them fall back, in some way it helped them to actually step forward. So when you read biographical theory, when you read the sociology of this, they always talk about the fact that certain people, for whatever reason, lifted themselves above their cultural milieu. In some ways, they lifted themselves above the petty obsessions of their particular society, of their particular culture, of their particular world, in order to reach a new level within themselves. Now, what I was just saying was that we tend to underestimate how much stuff people had to put up with 100 years ago, right? It was the same kind of thing. I mean, certainly Beethoven never said, "I can't write it this way or I'll never get a record deal." But on the other hand, that wasn't the form that his stuff took, but in his days it was stuff like, "If I do this, the king's mistress won't like me," right? Or, "If I do this, the church will get mad." It doesn't matter what form it takes. The point is that as long as human evolution has gone along, it's been this contest. It's been this whole dance between the forces of love and the forces of fear. And in every age, the fear within people, the fear of love, the fear of being who we are, has always been there. It's just taken a different form. But in every age and in every society, there are always the people who, for some reason, make it through. For some reason, you know, the Course in Miracles says all the blockages in your life, you look at it and it's like a cloud bank. You think that the things keeping you from peace, the things keeping you from radiance, the things keeping you from success, the Course says you look at those things and they seem like a solid wall to you. And then the Course uses the image of when you're in an airplane and you see cloud banks, and if you just looked at those clouds and you didn't really know what they were, they would seem like, "Oh, if I hit those, it'll be all over." But the truth of the matter is the plane goes into the clouds and the clouds are just air. They just look like a wall. They're not really. So what is it in some people that makes them just sail through the clouds? What is it that makes some people know that there really is no wall? That's the point. It's not that some people climbed over the wall. It's not that some people battled the wall. It's not that some people waited until the wall was gone. It was that some people knew that, in fact, there's no wall. And that's why the Course in Miracles talks about the point of radiance, the point of creativity, the point of oneness with God. And remember, all that oneness with God is oneness with your own personal power. It means coming from a place where you're not struggling and you're not competing. The only areas in my life where I've ever had any kind of success, where I've ever won in any kind of way, were areas where I didn't compete. Because I didn't really know there was a competition going on. I didn't know that. You know how sometimes people will say there's such a thing as beginner's luck? Beginner's luck is a fascinating psychological phenomenon. Beginner's luck is actually a description of what all life is supposed to be, but usually people, after they start beginning, fill their heads with such other stuff that beginner's luck isn't on their side anymore. All that beginner's luck is that you really haven't learned what the rules are, so you don't know there's supposed to be a problem. Right? Nobody's told you. It's like the other night my friend was on his way to Japan and he was talking about, he had this book on a jet lag diet, and we went out to dinner and it was 11 o'clock at night and all he ordered was all these french fries because he was supposed to eat carbohydrate. I don't know. He had it all what he was going to eat, and then he was getting on the plane and he was ordering a special menu, all the stuff that he'd read in this book in order not to have jet lag when he got to Japan. And I said, "Well, I went last summer. I went from Los Angeles to London in one flight. That's a long trip. That's as long as from here to Japan." He says, "Yeah, well, what'd you do for jet lag?" I said, "I didn't have any jet lag." He said, "Why not?" I said, Nobody showed me the book, thank God. I didn't know you were supposed to, you know, get real sick and stuff. I thought you were just supposed to be real excited about getting to Tokyo. I thought you were just supposed to be real excited about getting to London. I'd have a lot of fun. Forget that stuff. So that's what beginner's luck is. Beginner's luck is that you walk into a situation. It's not that the universe is patting you on the head and saying, "You sweet thing," any more than the universe is patting you on the head and saying, "You sweet thing, come over here so we can help you succeed." The universe isn't saying that any more to you when you're a beginner than it is when you're an intermediate in whatever you do. It's just that when you walk past the beginning phases, you look into the world as you see it, and you start knowing what the rules are, right? You start knowing what the situation is and what's going on here and analyzing it, and all of a sudden those things turn into obstacles. All of a sudden you think that they're walls keeping you from success because you have given your faith away. All you have to remember, faith is merely understanding where the power is. Faith is not belief. Faith is knowledge. Of course, belief in God is rather meaningless. It's not a matter of belief. Did I say faith in God was meaningless? I didn't mean that. Belief in God, the Course says, is meaningless. Knowledge of God is what we're talking about. Pure acceptance of what is. Because pure acceptance of what is that you are not a being of this world. So the people who really succeeded are the people who realize on some level, whether it's a conscious awareness in this incarnation or not, that something much broader is going on than our particular little petty obsession. Something much bigger is going on than show business as you know it. Something much bigger is going on than money as you know it. Something much bigger was going on several hundred years ago than Louis the 16th's mistress. Something much bigger was going on than what the Pope had to say. What's really going on is the evolution of an entire planetary consciousness. And the people who desire to be of service of that march were people who just kept their eyes on that. And so instead of coming down into the petty materialistic worldview in order to compete here so that the world would give them permission to shine, they just didn't get down into it. They just didn't get involved with all the petty machinations of the world. Somebody was saying, there's a part in the Course in Miracles that says, child of God, you were created to create the good, the true, and the holy. Do not forget this. Somebody said to me the other night, we were talking about a script that he wanted to write. And we were just getting real excited about what the story could be. And then he said, but you know, you could never get that made. You could never get that made. And that's why we have such a crisis in creativity in this country, because everybody's thinking, in terms of thinking, oh, that would be beautiful. You know, I know my father used to tell me when we were children, he used to say, sometimes, Marion, you just do something because it's the right thing to do. You're not always doing something in order to get this. Sometimes, you know, you do something because it's the right thing to do. Well, what does that mean? Well, if it's the right thing to do, that means it serves some higher moral order, without which the entire world falls apart. Have you read Yeats' poem, The Second Coming, when he talks about this time in history and he says the center cannot hold? Everything's sort of falling apart from the inside. But what we tend to do in our own individual lives is the same mistake we're making as a planetary consciousness, and that is that we're trying to fix everything from the outside. But to fix everything from the outside is still to believe in that which is out there. That which is out there that does not exist. So when you say, well, I don't know if we should write this script because I don't know how it'll get done, what you're really saying is, I don't know if the world will give me permission to shine. Right? We're all waiting for permission, for the world to give us permission to shine. But you see, the interesting thing about really shining and about being truly yourself, the forces of the world will never give you permission to do that while you're still struggling to make it manifest. Once it becomes manifest, one of the repercussions of that radiance is that it makes a shining light materialistically as well, and then the world will catch up. Then Time Magazine notices. Right? Because one of the consequences of that inner light as it bursts into manifestation is money, power, etc. So then the outer world says, oh, thank you, I love it. You know, I love it the way you read artists, you know, who write plays or something like that. And then you read all these really hoity-toity reviews of, oh yes, this man really understood the desperation and the absurdity of the human condition. The media, right, all this stuff, and you really got that, you really get the feeling sometimes from reading these reviewers that if that reviewer had been with that playwright at a dinner party 2 years before the playwright had written that play, he wouldn't have noticed him. You know what I'm saying? If you're waiting to get to the point of worldly manifestation where you can say that worldly manifestation doesn't matter, because that's all you really want to say. If you really want to make a contribution to the world, if you really want to spread the light of God and get to that point of glory within yourself, your only message to people will be, don't worry about the outside. Worry about the inside. Worry about the love for everybody. Worry about that inner kingdom, because when we're concerned with that inner kingdom, then all the rest fades away anyway. So my friend is concerned, well, if you write that script, you know, it might not get done. The thing is, you don't have to worry about, will it get done? You just worry about doing something beautiful. You just worry about doing something because it's right. And then it carries the blessing of God. Now, you might think that the blessings of God means something ideological or metaphorical or just symbolic. It doesn't at all. The blessings of God means that something carries within it the capacity to bring forth into manifestation all of the human contacts, all of the array of situation and relationships. As Jesus says in the Course, I assure you, time and space are under my control. Everybody will come forward that needs to come forward. Everything will happen just as it's supposed to happen in order to allow this thing to make itself known on the earth, because it carries the blessing of God. You know how when you're all nervous and upset and everything's real chaotic within you, then everything's real chaotic outside? Isn't that true? And you just mess up every relationship, you mess up every phone call, you mess up every interview, you just mess things up out there because you're messed up in here? The opposite is always also true. When you find peace inside, then everything outside of you takes that same peace, because what's happening is that in every given moment, who you are is radiating via these invisible force fields into the universe around you. And when you're coming from a kind of a chaos, you're creating chaos. You're manufacturing chaos. But when you come from peace, then you come from a place where all situations around you, you are that powerful, all the situations around you are aligned with that peace in such a way that everything flows and everything falls together. If your desire is of peace, now, okay, you say, all right, we have to be in a state of peace in order for that to happen. But let's go back. What is the state of peace? Well, there is only one mindset that gives you a state of peace, and that's the desire to serve God. When you're not doing something, if the only reason you want to write the script is so that you can make it in Hollywood, then you're not carrying with you the blessings of God. You're carrying with you the energies of ambition and greed and pettiness. That's of this world. And people just stay here. That's the gravity of human evolution. That's the slow-moving human evolution, right? The person who says, I only desire that my talent serve God. I only desire that what I do be something beautiful that enlivens the planet. Then even if it's not that script, even if it's not that particular project, the blessings of God go with you so that everything that it takes to make you learn how to make a better script, if that's what needs to be done, or if that script is the particular incarnation that would be best, the people will come forward to do it. All you have to do is to take care of your, you know, we're always like on an assembly line in creating the greater world. You just take care of the part that's in front of you. And don't you worry, you create something beautiful. And as Arnold Patton says, if you genuinely have something to say, there is someone who genuinely needs to hear it. You don't have to worry about creating a market. You just speak an honest word, and there is already a market, the entire human race. The world is hungry for that kind of spiritual and emotional nourishment that comes from people just being authentically themselves. So when our only desire, instead of what we have is this business, well, I need more money, so I've got to do it to make more money, or I need to have a certain kind of job, so I'm going to do it to have a certain kind of career, all this ambition and all this pettiness that we're involved in, the person who makes it through those blockages is the person who doesn't compete for those things anymore, the person who steps aside from those kinds of considerations, the person who is not trying to make anything happen. The person who is willing to just be. You know, somebody was telling me, a friend was telling me, he went into an acting audition, and he said that he had found that when he prayed before the audition that he did so much better. Well, why is that? Why, if you go into an acting audition and you say, I give this to the Holy Spirit, that's what we do here, right? Anytime we're about to go into anything, first of all, we do it at the beginning of each day. Dear Lord, I give you this day. Dear Lord, I give you this conversation. I give you this relationship. I give you this audition. I give you this whatever. Now, what does that mean? What that means is to align myself with God, to say I give this to God, means I give this to the spaces in my mind where I'm peaceful. I give this to the spaces in my own mind where I am God. That's all. Where does God exist? The Course says that God dwells deep within the mind. If you're going into an audition because you think you need it so bad in order to get your career somewhere, you're coming from the pettier, lower evolutionary spaces within your own mind. And what you are manufacturing for yourself is low-level evolutionary experiences. But if instead you say, I give this to God, that this just be used for His purposes, then what you're saying psychologically is, I give this to the space in my mind where I am authentically myself. If my only desire is to be authentically myself, then I cannot lose. then I cannot lose, because I win. Even if I don't get this job, I'm learning that place of personal power within myself. You know, sometimes you go through a lot of stuff in relationships, and you get to the point where you realize that all you really desire in your life after a certain point is a sense of yourself that you feel proud of, a sense of yourself that you feel dignified about, and that can only come from a sense that you are yourself no matter what happened. You cannot feel peaceful if you feel that you're compromising yourself here or compromising yourself there in order to get the money or in order to get the job or in order to get the person. You can't. But as long as you perceive your life in such a way that you're competing for any of those things, then you will be selling your own authenticity short, because your own authenticity will never seem good enough. The voices of the world will never tell you you're good enough as you are, because unless you have those things that the world says show you're a success, then the world will always be pointing out to you that you're lacking the way you are. What the Course is about is a radical acceptance of ourselves exactly the way we are. Now, the interesting thing about resisting our lives, so that what really happens is that people who achieve the greatest things then are people who are not necessarily desiring to achieve anything. They are merely people who are excited about something. And there is no excitement like the excitement that comes from knowing the power that becomes manifest through any human being, no matter what their IQ is and no matter what their talent is, when their desire is that they serve the forces of love. When your desire is that you serve the forces of love, then you become a miracle worker. Everything you touch falls together in a new way. Every situation that you walk into, people become happier and things begin to click and things have sparkle and there's energy around you just because you're there. Not because you did anything, but because of the intention you held in your mind. You hear a lot of people these days talking about intention, of course. But most people, when they talk about intention in this sort of new age way, have this idea of what is your intention being to get the job. That's not what the Course in Miracles is about. Your intention is to serve God. And what is God? God is that love within each and every one of us. So when we say our desire is to serve God, that means our desire is to serve the process on the planet by which all of us wake up and remember who we are. And it's happening, it's a process which unfolds within every context, in business, in the arts, in religion, in science, everywhere, in being, in relationships, in parenting, in all of our institutions, something new happens. But something new cannot happen by being fixed on the outside. The institutions and the society that we live in is only revitalized because we become different. As we become new, the Course says that all of our behavior is determined by our self-perception. So what changes is not our behavior. Well, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it this way to make my career happen. I'm going to do that in order to make my relationships happen. I'm going to do this in order to get money. It's not that we do different things. It's merely that we do things differently. And what happens is that we give up the desire to change anything. Let all things be exactly as they are. Because what happens until you do that is that you're resisting your own life. And to resist the circumstances of your life is bottom line to resist yourself. It shows yourself no self-respect to say, I don't look good enough, or I don't have enough money, or I don't have the right, you know, the right career, and just to look around your life and say, this is awful. To do that is to show no respect for yourself, to show no love or compassion for yourself. So then when you go around trying to fix those things, you're still coming from a deep-seated despair. You're still coming from a deep-seated contempt for yourself. And what do you think the universe is going to read back to you? A deep-seated contempt for yourself. And no matter how hard you try, I don't care whether you use, you know, visualizations and magic, mind magic, or whether you use something on the earth plane in order to affect the changes that you want, you might affect those changes temporarily. And certainly there are ways that you can affect those changes temporarily, but you cannot affect them on a permanent, consistent basis without getting down to the bottom line of where the problem really was to begin with. You see what I'm saying? In other words, that's why you see some people, I've known people in my life who would like make a lot of money, and then they would lose it, and then they'd make it all again, and then they'd lose it. I see people go through these highs and lows because they have no particularly stable relationship. And a stable relationship with the circumstances of our life comes from a stable relationship with God. But a relationship with God is just like a relationship with another person. What's really going on here? What is this relationship is about? Well, what this relationship is about is mutual support. Relationship with God is a prototype for your relationship for another person. I'm here to do for you. I'm here to be here for you in whatever way that I can serve your purposes, because I know that as I do that, I will grow in serving my own. I will grow in who and what I am, and then the whole universe will be better off because we came together. Remember, the Course says God needs us as much as we need Him. There is so much that God desires to be done on the earth, but He needs us in order to complete His plan for salvation. He needs our hands and our feet and our minds, our brains, our mouths, our voices. But the thing is, the Course says that once we have decided to be a teacher of God, once we have decided that my relationship with God is important, and I know that, you know, a lot of people treat God like gimme, 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 just like they treat other people in their lives. You know, oh, get. God, can I please have this? God, can I please have that? Right? The Course says that's magic. God, I'd like it this way, please. The state of the miraculous is so much more evolutionarily and spiritually mature. It's, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Because, and then what happens is so incredible, because the Course says that that's what it means to be a teacher of God. It has nothing to do with believing in God. It means to be someone who desires to serve the forces of love. That's why there are many people who would say they don't even believe in God, who the Course would call great teachers of God. They've become co-creators with God, the Course says, even if they do not yet believe in Him. Now, what happens when people become teachers of God? And the way the Course describes a teacher of God is someone who serves the forces of love, who wants to do this not to make the money, not to get the record contract, not to make the career, not to get the relationship, but to do what is right, to do what is beautiful, to serve that force inside. The Course says that God gives the teacher of God special gifts. So what happens is, while some people are trying to get better at this or better at that in order to do this, in order to get that, the Course says just go for the service of love, and then everything that you need in order to become a person so full of power that it cannot but happen will be given you. That's when you will become someone whose mind, you just have more, it's a really just a creative think, a level of creative thinking. All this business about our using more brain cells than we have been using. All of a sudden, when your desire is to serve God, you get an enthusiasm like children get, you know? Instead of sitting around in a boardroom, well, you know, what formula can we come up with in order to do a TV show that'll make it next season, right? Instead of that kind of a mentality, you have an excited idea. And this idea, you know, what we have in this society right now, the only thing that really turns people on is the idea, well, it'll make a lot of money, right? Could it make a lot of money? And that gets people real excited and real motivated. But there's a level of success which is so far beyond that and which brings money with it. We were passing a corner the other day where it's a big corner in Los Angeles, and these really not very beautiful apartments have been built. And how did I do? And somebody said, well, I guess what they were doing was they spent a lot of money on the land, and then they wanted to put those apartments up, you know, and then just make them as cheap as they could so that they could sell them. So, you know, so that they could rent them out and then make the most money for the land. And it just seemed so weird to me. And somebody else said, yeah, well, you know, but that's understandable. That's how they're going to make the most money on their investment in the land. Now, the thing for us that's so interesting there is that that's not even true about money. Not really. Because if the real estate developer saw himself in the same career as we're all taught to see ourselves, which is, that's, if you're in real estate, your part is to make the world as beautiful as you can, to serve people who need to go home, who need to have homes, who need to have places to live, to make the world a beautiful place. Now, if you do that as a real estate developer or anything else, the universe will support you. You will make more money. You will make money. You see, what we tend to do is we look at what happens. Like, you might go into the audition and not get that particular job. But what you got was a sense of yourself as a person you didn't have before, which is going to make you better when you go into the next audition or the next interview. We tend to look at what comes back from an exact activity and think that that was the answer from the universe. It was not at all. This is a process going on. And what faith is not a belief, but like I said, a knowledge. A knowledge that when you serve the forces of love, the universe will support you. And that's what happens in, quote, great people. They're not out to just do something for themselves. They take a higher vision of things. A great scientist isn't thinking about whether or not the world is going to tell him he was a great scientist so much as he was thinking about the science turned him on. And it's the same with the art. The art turned him on. Same with anything. You're excited. And when you're excited, you're not trying to get anything. Your state is simply to be. Your state is simply one where you are so at one with the forces of truth, which is the force of love, that you will return to a state within yourself, which is your own authenticity and your own peace. And from that point forward, it's simply understanding that the universe supports that. The universe is a friendly place. The universe is not a hostile place. The world that you manufactured, the Course says, is a hostile place because all it is a reflection of your hostility to the forces of love. This world will always be hostile to you. This world will never want you to succeed because this world, as you experience it, the Course said, is nothing other than a reflection of the belief system, which is a belief in the destruction of love's meaning. Simply understand, you're not of this world. You're here merely to save this world. You're here to awaken this world. You're here to remind other people that they, just like you, come from a land beyond this one, which is the kingdom of heaven. And yet this world that we made, it is given to us the capacity to wake from this dream even while we live in this world. So that this world then becomes a very beautiful place. All of our experiences are happy here. Everything is just gorgeous and our relationships are so happy and everything is so wonderful. The Course says from that point it's just a little step between this world and complete heaven itself, and God will take that step himself. In order for us to awaken, in order for us to get to the point on this planet and within this earth experience where we are at that level, where we're just an instant away from heaven, is that all of us change our minds about what our purpose is here. And then it doesn't matter what your IQ is, and it doesn't matter what your talent is. It doesn't matter any of the accoutrements of our physical body. They're meaningless. Once we have it in our minds that our only desire is that our career serve God, that our work serve God, that our money, that our bodies, that everything about us is used by the universe to somehow make things better in whatever way we are directed, then what that means, first and foremost, is that we change. We become miraculous people. We become people who come from a level within us, which is what the Course calls right-minded. We become beings of love and beings of peace. And once we become that, there's no wall that can stop us because we see that there aren't any walls. Thank you very much. Amen.